nuclear time bombs.
Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder. And this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm excited to bring in Ben Stapley. Ben is an online guy over in New Jersey, over at Liquid Church, he's doing a lot of great stuff there. And as I was talking to him about doing a podcast interview, we talked about photography because that's something that I feel like is a vital and, as Ben would say, missing link here with a lot of churches, that the essence of taking photographs and putting them out all over social media. And so Ben and I get together and we talk about how to create a team. What do you do? What do you put in? What are some basics of creating that photography team so that your church can really be putting out the content, the visual content that it needs to? So I'm really excited to have Ben on. So let's get into the conversation now with Ben Stapley. With me right now is Ben Stapley. Ben, how are you?
Doing great, Tom. Great to be here with you guys.
Well, I'm really glad that you're here with me. Just to give you, just for you to give my audience a little bit of a background about you. Again, I've been following you for quite some time now, and you've got some great stuff going out there. What do you do, and what's your background, and what do you do now?
So I the thumbnail sketch of me is I got a chance to get my video, my BA in video communications from Chicago. After that, went to Toronto and reported and produced for a number of years up there in Toronto. After that, got married and came down here to Jersey. Been in Jersey for about 12 years and worked at a church as a director of programming and media for about 10 years. And for the past 2 years, I've been with Liquid Church as the creative arts pastor here in the Northeast, still in Jersey.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. What do you love most about your job now?
Oh, gosh, I love creating memorable experiences for people. The idea that people come to your services and will give you an hour of their time, especially in the Northeast where people are go, go, go. Time's a huge commodity. Yep. That, hey, we got that. We have that 1 hour out of 168 hours to create an awesome experience for them. That seeing that challenge and that reward every Sunday 52 times a year is my biggest reward.
Now, that's awesome. And what kind of stuff do you do with Liquid Church on the online programming wise? Like, obviously, you'll stream your services and stuff like that. What kind of rebroadcasting do you do, or other programming stuff?
So for us, we are actually tape delay. We have a broadcast campus and then five other campuses. We will capture that at the one and then share that with our other campuses and online the following week. So we are we do simulated stream to make it look like it's a live experience, but it's really not. It's all prepackaged in the can.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Now, so one of the things that you talked about was, in your introduction, was about the creating memorable experiences and stuff. And we talked a little bit offline about photography. And so it kind of, like, I'm really fascinated. In fact, I just did a blog post about photography and the ability that photos have for sharing stuff with your audience. So let's talk about photography a little bit. What's your background in photography? Were you always into photography and that kind of stuff?
Being into things visual. I struggle with dyslexia, and so I'm not a fan of words.
Nice. Okay, good.
I'm more of a fan of images, be it video or be it photography. So I have a background in that in terms of doing freelance work as a wedding portrait and family photographer. But my bigger passion, maybe about 5 years ago, I turned the corner and I spent less time myself as the artist and I spent more time pouring into artists and equipping the next generation of artists. So my real passion right now is to equip photographers within the church to capture those moments and to showcase them.
Great. Well, see, this is awesome because I love this. Now, when you're equipping photographers and when you're equipping artists, what are you talking about and what are you encouraging them to do in casting that story to other people?
Yeah, so even before getting into the technical details of what lens are you using or what f-stop are you on, I always make sure that with the volunteers, I always ask first initially the vision of why we're doing this. So we have the most compelling story to share. We should share it in the most compelling way. And so for the photographers, let's not just make sure that we have the best gear or we're using the best techniques, but let's remind ourselves of the why we're doing it before we the how we're doing it. And so I always like to start with that because you can have fatigue and burnout with any ministry position, especially with the artists, if they don't know why we're doing it up front.
Yeah. Well, and how many people are you looking to have as when you're doing something, when you're trying to capture stuff? Is it just one person or do you have a whole team of people?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a range because you want to have enough to capture the event, but you don't want to have too many that they're visually overwhelming. So... Mm-hmm. You know, what's a good rule of thumb? I'd say, like, for every 100 people, to have one photographer. You've got an event with 100 people, have a photographer. You've got 500 people at the event, try to get 5 photographers. And that's just, like, a general rule of thumb. But that's what I try. Because, again, you don't want to miss those key moments. But on the flip side, I've had events where it was 50 people, and I had 5 photographers lined up, and it just felt like overkill. Not for the photographers. They loved it. Yeah. But for the people... You need to be inconspicuous while capturing this, and if you got 5 people with media badges running around, it kind of ruined the event. And you're there to capture it, not to ruin it.
Yeah, no, that's great. Okay, so explain the process a little bit for me. When they're capturing the stuff, what do they do after the event is over? What happens?
Great question. I always have them edit their work. First of all, it streamlines the process. They don't just dump all their photos to you and then you have to edit them.
Okay.
So it makes things a lot more efficient because your volunteers are doing that and because they're the ones that took the photos, they really know what's going to be a great photo. Instead of you looking at them with an untrained eye, they take them and they're able to get... So I say, hey, edit down your photos and then send it to me. And then I'll usually ask for 2 folders. Give me all your photos. So give me the 100 photos that you think are your good photos. Delete the blurry ones and all the junk.
Yeah.
And then give me a folder of your top 20. Okay. So if I need to turn around the event right away and post it up to social media because people want to see it right away, I have that folder of the top 20. But I also have the whole folder of 100 in case they want to go back and say, you know what, let me look and see if they have a better photo in there. So give me your top 100 and your top 20 of good photos.
Okay, so when you compile it all, how do you determine what, like, do you have a certain amount, like, hey, for this one event, I want to get 100 pictures up there or 50 pictures, and then where do you post them? What do you do with that then?
So we'll post them across our social media platforms. One of the things I encourage your listeners to avoid, and this is like language that I have to use for photographers as well, is that we're not there. We're there to capture highlights. We're not there as documentarians. So sometimes you have photographers show up and they're taking photos and you took a photo and people ask, hey, that's great. Where will I find my photo? And there's this expectation that all the photos will be posted somewhere. A church can't be in the business of that.
Okay.
We're not documentarians. We're capturing highlights. And so I'll equip our volunteer photographers with that language. Hey, I'm just here to capture the highlights, and so those highlights will be posted tomorrow on Facebook or whatever your timeline is and wherever you are. And so they're not in that pinch of trying to get everyone's email address and sending them their individual photos.
Yeah.
And then people have a right-sized expectation. Like, you know, you want to be able to communicate to your guests and let them know, hey, some of them will be there, but not all of them. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Now, that's awesome. Now, what kind of... equipment do you encourage? Like if I was to come up to you and say, listen, I would love to start taking pictures for Liquid Church. What are the kind of the requirements that you have or expectations that you have for them?
Yeah.
Or do you have a specific amount or specific expectations? And do you do training
first
with them?
The first thing I ask for people is portfolio. Can you show me some of your works? Even if it's just a Facebook album that you've posted for your family's, you know, your son's bar mitzvah or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Can you show me some of your work? Because there's a bit of a vetting process. So there's 2 ends of the extreme. One end of the extreme is you work with everybody, and the other end is you work with nobody. The churches can't do either. They need to be in the middle. So you work with everybody, regardless of whether or not they have any talent, or they've demonstrated any effort in terms of growing their craft and skill. they've invested any money in buying any gear. Churches can't do that. On the flip side, some churches are so snobby that they'll only work with high-end professionals, and it eliminates the majority of people to engage with. So I say, you know, we can't work on either end of the spectrums. We need to be in the middle. So if a person comes, we have a baseline expectation of what their work will look like, and if it doesn't look like what we need it to be, we'll give them resources and training for them to do on their own time.
Okay.
Come back to us when they think they're up to snuff, then we'll integrate them. So it's a matter of saying, no, we can't integrate you right now, but yes, we will down the road after you've demonstrated the desire to grow your craft. Come back at us. We'd love to integrate you.
I like that. Okay, that's very good. And now, what kind of training? Is it training that you've that you've put together, or is it resources like, hey, go to this YouTube page, and then these are the five things we want you to watch, or something like that?
So we would we put together a list of resources of tutorial videos for them to watch and to grow on each of those things, and they can pick and choose which is important to them, what aspects of their craft they want to work on. But yeah, we have that as a PDF. They can quickly download it and go from there. So it's not just you go and work on your craft and there's no starting point.
Yeah.
Again, we're not a school. We can't take it by the hand and show them, a rule of thirds ourselves. But here's a document. You're off and running.
That's awesome. Okay, now hypothetically speaking.
Yes.
Say that I, Tom Pounder, come up to you and say, hey, listen, Ben, I would really like to take photos for the church. However, all I have is my iPhone. But I take really good iPhone pictures with my smartphone. Can you use me? Is that a possibility?
Yes. I actually had this example about a month ago. Someone came up to me and they had it wasn't an iPhone. It was a flip phone. And they opened up their flip phone to show. And I actually thought it was a bit of a joke. And so I had to stifle my laughter.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a joke. They were shooting with like a 0.5 megapixel camera.
Oh my
gosh. Showing me their work on their phone. If someone has an eye but they don't have an ear, I would encourage churches to invest in a low-level DSLR.
Okay.
Maybe get one prime lens and a 50 millimeter lens, and have that on hand to let them grow themselves. But you might have somebody, especially teenagers, who've got talent, but they don't have the resources to plunk down $500 for a camera.
Yeah.
Make an investment as a church and then lend it out to them for events and even beyond lending them out. Hey, why don't you borrow it for a week and you just work on your craft and then shoot. So, you want to resource people not with training materials, but also entry-level gear.
Yeah.
You can't be buying high-end stuff. The church doesn't have the budget for that.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. And that's the one issue I feel like I come upon a lot is that I really want to create a photography team, okay? But we have our creative department, which we have a few people in our department. We're a little bit bigger church, and we have a creative department, and they have a high-end camera, but only those guys can use it because I want to know what to do. And, again, they have to protect the stuff. But I also have people that have an eye for things, but they only have a smartphone, and so I'll encourage them to take pictures and send them to me. But again, even when I'm trying to take a picture with my iPhone, if I see something and I'm trying to catch a picture on the stage, the iPhone can't catch a picture like that. I mean, no matter how good of a camera is, you have to have a specific camera for that. And so that's where I get discouraged, and that's where I'm like, I need to invest in something. So if you were to recommend to me to get a camera, what kind of, you said DSLR, but what kind, would you, is there a specific kind of camera that you would recommend?
Most of Canon's entry-level bodies are great. I'm a fan of the prime lenses because of a lot of you need fast glass, or you need to be able to shoot at a low f-stop in dark lit environments. Which let's call it out. Most churches, what you're happening is a dark environment. An auditorium that's dimly lit. You got worship going on. It's an evening event. So that's what I'd say. A basic Canon body. I'm a fan. I'm a Canon fanboy. Nikon or Canon, doesn't matter. And then at least start with a prime 50 millimeter lens and then go from there. There's that spectrum, right? We talked about it before. It's all on the spectrum. That there's a spectrum of being too reclusive with your gear and not letting anybody touch it.
Yeah.
And then being like a wild, wild west and anyone's grabbing this you know, $500 camera. I've found most searches, and myself, I'll call it out, have on that spectrum. I always err on being too restrictive. And I think in my 15 years in ministry, I can count one time where gear was accidentally damaged on a shoot by a volunteer, with the thousands of times that I've lent out gear. And so I'd encourage churches, oh no, a volunteer, lend it out. It's going to be like 1,000 to 1 in terms of how many times it gets used. Thousands of times to one, how many times it gets used, and then one accidental time where you might need to replace or repair something.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you, and I think it empowers volunteers when you give them and entrust them with that kind of stuff. I think they really feel excited about that, because maybe they do want to fool around with it a little bit more, and you're giving them that opportunity. So I think that's a really cool thing. Okay, so how do you then compile it all? How do you tell the story of what of that event that you're doing? What do you do? What goes through your mind as the end-all, be-all? How do you do that?
I always tell people to think through a storyline, especially if you're going to post an album of photos, like a Facebook album. Think through the storyline, you know, beginning, middle, end. So people showing up, people in the middle of the event, and the thing concluding. And if you look at a church service, it's pretty basic. People coming in with smiles, ushers handing bulletins, we got time of worship, a message, and then people smiling on the way out. It's not rocket science. But tell the story of your photos. How did the event begin? What happened to the majority of it, and then how did it end? I always tell my photographers as well to make sure they get a range of compositions for the shots. So it gives me the wide, medium, and close. Most people shoot one way. Like they like the intimate shot, and so you get all your tight shots of the intimate, but I have no idea how big this event was, because you never gave me a wide establishing shot, or vice versa. Some people are timid. They just want, you know, they're a landscape photographer. They just want to give you the whole room the whole time, and we never punch into the actual emotions. So give a storyline and give a range of composition as well.
That's really cool. Okay, so then how would then you, when you got all those photos and you say you create a Facebook album, that's one way that you'll use that for purposes. How would you repurpose it in other ways? Can you create other image graphics or anything like that?
The one nice thing is with photos. You can use them for your social squares. A real popular thing for churches is they have your sticky statements, your sound bites from your teaching pastor. The one big idea he's trying to communicate. Yeah. Take a photo of them with some negative space, and then take that statement and put it over top. Do a text overlay. That's a great shareable moment. It's, you're not just reading the quote. Oh, I'm seeing this quote came from this person. That's a great way to use it. I encourage people to take photos and do event recap. So sometimes churches aren't in the budget to have a videographer to do event recap. Do an event recap with photos. It works well. And then the one way that I'm trying to push myself and other churches towards, I think we're underutilizing it, is the testimony. So think of like people in New York, real popular Instagram account. If people haven't followed it, check it out. Yep. They basically take a photo that encapsulates the person, who they are, their story, and then you see a 300 or 500 word write-up of them. So Whatever that testimony is, you know, it's the person's life who's been changed because they're not volunteering at the soup kitchen. Take a photo of them in action, one photo, and then write up that story. It's a way that churches aren't fully utilizing that, the powerful one photo.
I really like that you said that, because I actually follow that account, and it is very powerful what he does with those pictures and then the testimonies below that. And they're just average Joe people. Think about the story, like as you said, we have the greatest story to tell. And when we share about life change that happens, you know, that's fantastic. And I have found whenever I post photos recently, photos get way more engagement on my social than any kind of cool, crafty little image I create on Word Swag or Photoshop or something like that. The real photos is what really draws people's attention. So I really love it. So
the one suggestion I'd give, and for your photographers when they're trying to capture that, is try to capture the candid, not the posed. Hmm. So a lot of photographers, when they're covering their events, I'm here, and people will instinctively do that. Oh, great. They'll put their arm around the person, and they'll awkwardly look at the camera. No, don't do that. Don't take any of those.
Yeah.
And so I, as a photographer, try to blend in to capture the candid, because that's where the emotions are. It's not people don't want to see the more staged stuff. They want to see the behind the scenes. They want to see the candid photos.
Yeah.
Shoot like 9 to 1 candid over posed photos.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Dude, Ben, this is fantastic stuff. I could probably talk to you for hours on end about this. But as I'm really, like, again, with the social media and the online stuff that I do, I'm really just now starting to dig into photography. So I am going to have you back on and talk more about this. You've got a wealth of knowledge. So just as we wrap up, if someone's, like, listening to this podcast and like, hey, I want to talk to Ben, how would they contact you? What would they do to get a hold of you?
Yeah, best way would be to email me, bensnakeweed@gmail.com, or you can check out my website, bensnakeweed.info. That's probably the best way. Or social media, look me up.
Yeah.
If you type in Ben Snakeweed, you'll probably find me.
Yes, and I will definitely include all the links on the show notes so they can just click on that and get a hold of you. So, Ben, this was fantastic. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Tom, for having me.
Yep. All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Ben. It was awesome having him on the podcast because he really shared a lot of stuff about, yes, we have the greatest story to share, and so therefore we have to be able to be well-equipped and well-trained in how to do that. I mean, again, anybody can take pictures, but you want to be able to visually create the story to share with people, enlightening them about what is happening in your church and what is happening with Jesus and how he can directly impact your life. Visual content really helps to go a long way in doing that, and really good quality photos do as well. Now, I will say this. The caveat here is you may not have a camera and you may not be able to afford one as a church to give to a volunteer to do a camera. I still think you can create really good photos with an iPhone, especially if you have an iPhone 7 Plus, and I can't wait to see what the new iPhone comes out with, but you can create some really good photos with that, with a camera. However, there is a difference, especially if you're dealing with lighting and so forth of a stage, you can't get great photos there. So I would say don't limit to someone that they have to be A-plus photographer guy, that he can't be on your team. He can definitely be on your team. You just be able to have to use those photos differently than you would something that comes with a really, really good Canon camera or so forth. So I would encourage you to really think outside the box. And honestly, this whole photography team is something I'm trying to develop. So I would love to hear from you. Who do you have a photography team in your church or your ministry? How do you use them? What do you do with them? I would love to hear what you have to say about this. So definitely hit me up on Twitter @TAPounder or hit me up as well, tom@ymsidekick.com. I would love to hear your thoughts and your comments about how you created a photography team and what you're using them for as you're communicating the story of Christ to everyone in your community. All right, here's well, that wraps it up for another episode of the podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, if you have not subscribed yet, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast. There's a link on the show notes, or just go to ymsidekick.com. You got the podcast there. You can subscribe there as well. Also at ymsidekick.com, we've got some great blogs and we've got some vlogs as well. And coming up really soon, in about another week, I'm going to be promoting a really cool thing that we did last year that we've got a whole new group of people doing this year. It's going to be fantastic. The Social Media Vlog Week coming up in early August. I cannot wait to talk about that. So stay tuned for all the details on that. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week. Until next time, have a great one.